Hey, Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain.
Hey, if you like this podcast, do us a favor. Go to iTunes and where, I don't know how to do this.
Give us like a good rating.
Yeah, good rating. That's what we're meant to say. Go wherever you need to on iTunes and give us a good rating.
Appreciate it.
And I know you're going to, hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
Answering your top financial questions for the past 20 years, it's Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are with us on this weekend. Both myself and my co-host here, Pat, we are both practicing financial advisors. We meet with people like yourself throughout the week, helping them plan their financial future. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. So whether you have advisors you're working with now, or you just are looking for some more information, or you're just driving around and you're wondering, what's this radio program about? We are glad you are here. And it's a great program today.
It's a place for your financial questions. First opinions, second opinions, third opinions.
We talk about things financial, and a lot of it has to do with retirement issues as kind of preparing for some financial independence so that retirement can be an option for you. Work is a choice and not an obligation.
Yeah, and for many people, they move into the retirement realm much sooner than they anticipated.
Matter of fact, Pat, a study showed that 58% of Americans, that's roughly one out of two of us, will retire earlier than we had planned because some outside forces. Job change, health issue.
Yeah.
The two bigger issues. We all know somebody that has had to retire because they got something going on.
Retirement isn't, for some people, it's not necessarily the goal. I have clients in their late 70s that still work and absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. They're typically not doing a lot of manual labor.
ditch digging.
They're not.
Well, there's a lot of Hansen McClain clients that continue to work, or those that want to work. Yeah. I remember years ago, Alan Greenspan had made some comment about people needing to continue working. And I'm not here to knock Alan Greenspan. I just thought,
but it's easy to do if you wanted to.
When you...
How about those bubbles?
he was the king of the bubbles.
But I'm thinking, if you're a ditch digger, if you're doing manual labor, if you're a gardener, there's certain professions that
just don't
lead
them.
Steel worker, you're probably not going to be doing steel work at age 75.
Yeah, if you're feeding a smelter at age 75.
Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah. But there's certain
industries that you can work until the day you die.
And actually, for many, is figuring out what's that chapter of your life going to look like. And if you are going to have some sort of work, maybe start working on that today. So, hey, anyway, if you want to be part of Hansen McClain, we're going to talk about those issues, talk some about some stuff that's happening in the world of finance. But, of course, we love taking your calls and answering questions here on the air. And if you'd like to join Hansen McClain's Money Matters, our contact number to be part of the program. You got a question for us regarding your own investment. Maybe it's retirement. You're trying to figure out when's retirement realistic for you. You can afford to retire now. Do you need to push it off? Do you need to supplement retirement income? You got a question like that. Maybe you wonder if your 401k is invested properly. Do you have too much in stocks? Do you have too little in stock? Do you have too much in real estate? Whatever the
should you have a mortgage in retirement? Should you have a mortgage in retirement?
Anything that's financially related, I don't think so, but anything that's financially related, join the program here. Well, let me think. Most things that are financially related.
Not anything. Most things. You know, we're going to go with all things.
Yes, because there are some obscure things sometimes that make a big difference in someone's pocketbook they don't realize.
Yeah. We're going to go with all things financially related. It's our show. It's an executive decision.
I'll give you an example of something here that's kind of way out there.
Wait. Did you give our number out yet?
No.
I'm listening.
I'm holding to people on. All right. To join Hansen McClain's Money Matters, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, the number is 1-888-242-6766. You can also go to moneymatters.com if you forget that number, moneymatters.com. And click on the contact number there, and it'll bring you through to the phone number as well. So
you get right here
and answer your question. So my point
is obscure.
And I learned this as a young man by mistake. There is most loans are what's known as a simple interest loan. Your interest is charged based upon your outstanding balance. That's how your mortgage is.
That is correct.
That's how credit cards are. That's how most loans are. Your interest is charged based upon your the balance of the loan outstanding. There's also loans that are called computed interest loan.
Or rule of 78.
Rule of 78, computed interest. You'll see these sometimes in auto loans.
As I did.
Where they compute the interest on the at the front. So, for example, let's say you're going to have a three-year loan on a car. And the interest, let's say that they figure out the interest that will be charged over that period of time is going to be $2,000. Let's make it easier. $3,600.
Okay.
So what they'll do is they'll say, well, 100 of that, it's, you're going to be $100 per month, $3,600, 3 years, $100 a month of your payment will be going to this interest.
Right, you pay the interest first.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was getting this back. You pay the interest up front.
You pay the interest up front. So all your first payments are paying off the interest. So that if you decide to accelerate the payments on the automobile at any point in time or on the loan at any point in time, there is no in savings to you whatsoever.
Yeah. So I had taken, this is when I was right out of college, my bachelor's degree, right out of undergrad. And I had taken several courses in personal finance.
Okay.
I had never heard of this concept. And I bought a used car. Mm-hmm. I remember it was this, it was like a year out of college.
Was it the purple thing?
It wasn't quite purple. It was burgundy with like, they weren't shag seats, but they weren't far off. It was really bad. I remember actually with my wife, were we married then? I think we were engaged then. And she says, yeah, really? Do you have to get this car? And I'm like, babe, I have no money.
It's this is
like
how this, you get.
It's like, I need a reminder those days. Sometimes. Anyway, this is
but
way
she had a good looking hair ahead. Had a hair back then.
So
you were driving a car.
She looked past it.
So she looked past it. And now you got a beautiful car and no hair.
That's right. Would I rather be young with hair and a lousy car?
I don't know. Trade-offs.
Trade-offs. Now I have a nice car. And no hair.
You're driving that beautiful, fancy car, okay. But you are almost completely bald.
My point, here's the story for the lesson for the... I had learned I bought this car. I didn't have any money, so I financed it. Not the best thing you should do. As a financial advisor, don't do that. I was 23 years old or whatever. But I learned when I was reading through the paperwork.
After you signed it?
After I signed it, I'm like, what's this rule of 78, computed interest? Because my plan was to pay it off early. And after reading the fine print, I remember talking to the finance manager. He let me get out of it. And I went.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he let me get out of it.
Oh.
I went and.
Because I bought a car when I was 19. I didn't realize I had done it until. 2 years into it when I called up and I said, what's the payoff on this? And they told me, and I said, well, there's no savings there. They explained the rule of 78.
Yes.
And I bought this beautiful, brand new Volkswagen Rabbit Wolfsburg edition when I was 19 or 20. Oh, it was
brand gorgeous. New?
Brand new, $7,400.
You're kidding.
Yeah, put beautiful stereo in it. Gorgeous.
Where'd you get the money at age 19? I thought you were a poor college student.
I was never a poor college student. I had a great time in college.
Are you kidding?
I was a waiter. It was awesome. We had a great time. But the Wolfsburg edition didn't find out about this rule 70. So there are obscure things in finance that you don't recognize. So if you have an obscure question, don't hesitate to call.
Yeah, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I don't know. Awfully long topic on that.
It was a long story.
Yeah. Oh, I've got more of those. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON will get you to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON gets you to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And by the way, if you're listening to the program, we've been doing this program for over 20 years. So this week, I took a spin class. I like to cycle. I run and cycle. And so if it's been raining a lot, and I don't have time to get out during the day, and too many days go by, I'll take a spin class at the gym.
Okay.
I don't do it very often. Anyway, I go into the spin class this week, and the nice woman who's the instructor of the spin class, oh, Scott, I listened to your show on Saturday. You guys are hilarious. I had no, your show is great. I really like you guys. You're hilarious. And I said, was that the first time you heard the show?
Yeah. 20 years.
I said, really? The first? Yeah, it was great. And I'm thinking, I've known her at the gym.
Oh, maybe she didn't know you had a show.
I don't know, but... And,
I mean,
and
then, there was one look at you, you could tell that you were in radio.
What does that mean?
Ah, you didn't really... You could tell.
Indicates.
It's that booming voice.
Then we're talking... like, she keeps talking about the show, and I finally said, look, I'm here for spin. Because
so
other people are like, Oh, you're 80. Then she's like, you're famous or something. Like, oh, for crying out loud. Yeah, and I said, please, can I just, and it's like other people are looking at me. I'm like, I really appreciate some anonymity.
So we've been doing it for 21 years, but you may not have heard of us because we are new, relatively new in the San Francisco Bay Area.
That's right.
On KGO. In Denver on KOA.
Yes.
LA on KEIB, The Patriot, and San Diego KOGO.
That's right. And
so if you're new to us, thank you for listening. And if you say, oh, I'm really enjoying this, both of you that are enjoying the show could go to our website at moneymatters.com.
There's three because
the lady of the spin instructor. If all three of you wanted to, you could go to moneymatters.com and you could download.
<All three. laughs> I hope there's more than three.
So, or you could sign up on iTunes.
Our podcast.
For a podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, you can listen to it at your leisure.
I saw an ad this week, and here's what we understand most people don't want to deal with their finances all the time, right?
Any of their time.
Hanson McClain, we have thousands of clients. They hire us to help with their life savings, and in large part because they don't want to have to deal with it on a daily basis. A lot of people really need the advice. There are some that say, look, I could probably do it myself. I like the luxury of doing it. I'm going to focus on things I really enjoy doing, and this isn't one of them. I saw an ad this week. There was a guy at the peak of a mountain. It was a guy or a gal. I don't know. Someone's sitting at the peak of a mountain. You could tell they had just hiked the mountain, and they've got their iPhone or whatever the little smartphone is out. And the ad was for an online trading, take your investments wherever your life leads. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if I'm on a fantastic hike up the top of a mountain and get to the peak of the mountain, I'm doing it because I want to get away from all this other garbage.
Not to trade. Not to go to the top of the mountain to trade.
Can you imagine watching the stock market or something at the top of the mountain and trading?
But people don't believe that.
To me, it turned me off. Why would you want to trade at the top of a mountain? It's beautiful.
Well, you find me at the top of a mountain after a long hike. Something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah. What in the world is Pat doing absolutely hiking? There's no television here. There's no armchair.
If there's not a gondola close by, there is something terribly wrong.
Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll start taking your calls here at Hanson McClain. Again, to join the program, Hanson McClain's Money Matters, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. When we come back, we'll talk with Jerry. We'll talk with you. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hanson and Pat McClain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McClain's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. To be part of Hanson McClain's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Hey, real quick, before we go back to the program, I want to let our listeners know of a great opportunity. If you are anywhere close to retirement, or you're at a point where you want to make sure you're retirement ready, whether or not you want to retire soon or not, but you want to make sure that you're retirement ready, we've got a special workshop, the 7 Personal Decision Points for Retirement Transition, and they are this week in Northern California, the next 2 weeks in Northern California. This coming week in the San Francisco Bay Area and the following week in the Sacramento area. We also have on-demand webinars for Southern California, San Diego, Denver listeners.
At moneymatters.com.
Yes, but there are still, so we're going to be in Lafayette, California on Monday, March 14th. We're going to be in Pleasanton on Tuesday, March 15th, and in Cupertino, Wednesday, March 16th. Again, Lafayette on the 14th, Pleasanton on the 15th, Cupertino on the 16th. You'll want to go online and register for those workshops. It's really, they're good workshops.
Yeah.
Pat, you're going to be doing them personally.
I think I'm doing most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those three you're going to do.
I think so.
Yeah. And so come and see Pat and you can tease him about anything.
What?
Huh? I don't know. You're easy to tease.
Tease me about what?
I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. It's my bothering me. Anyway, the workshop's about both at 1 p.m. as well as 7 p.m.
Yeah, 1 and 7.
I think it's 6:30, the one in Lafayette. But yeah. Otherwise, go online, moneymatters.com. You can't miss it. The first page, you're going to say workshops and click on it.
And sign up, and we're actually going to light appetizers.
And there's no charge for the workshops.
None.
And,
zero. Light appetizers.
Yeah. So anyway, again, moneymatters.com to find out about those workshops. So let's go to the calls here. We're going to talk with Jerry. Jerry, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good day, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you, Jerry?
I'm excellent. I'm one of those three callers you're referring about.
Okay. Which ones?
Okay.
Oh, the three people that listen.
Oh.
Are they, yes, sir. Or listen to the podcast. You listen to the podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I appreciate that. What can we do for you?
Well, my question is this. I've been very fortunate to have worked, never needed a job. I've been self-employed most of my adult life. Raised a family, made a lot of money, you know, made good money, bought what we wanted, spent what we wanted. But now that I'm thinking about maybe needing to retire and have never had any education about retirement or what would be something that I could do, my question for you, gentlemen, would be, what would you suggest at this time if a fellow wanted to consider thinking of retiring and had never really planned for it?
You know,
not
that,
had much education.
That's, you know, Jerry, you know, it's, how old are you, Jerry?
62.
So here's what I find fascinating. We've been doing this a long time. So Pat and I started working together in 1993, over 20 years now. We've been helping people retire. In the 90s, people were retiring younger and younger. The whole thing about retirement is retire as soon as you can, right? Stock market was going through the roof. Then we had the 2000s. We had the tech bubble. We had 9/11. We had Enron, all that. Then, of course, we had the financial crisis. And it just changed people's finances in great deal about – and but the whole way that people approach retirement has even changed.
Significantly.
Yeah. So I was just looking at a study this last week. 10 years ago – 38%, roughly a third, looked at retirement as not really retiring in leisure, just quitting working and doing whatever. They saw it as a new chapter in their life. That was 10 years ago, a third. Today, the majority, 54% of people approaching retirement are looking at it as just a new chapter in life. So the thing that I find interesting, you're 62, you've been self-employed. Do you want to quit working?
No, sir.
Well, then... I'm,
but I would like to maybe plan for when I get ready to or when I slow down.
There you got it. There we go. Perfect.
And you know what? That is
– so tell us a little
– I like to talk about people becoming retirement ready, whether or not they want to or not, because so many people are forced into retirement. A health issue takes you out or a health issue has a loved one or suddenly you got
– or a job transfer
yeah.
or change
but
in structure. So tell us about yourself. Do you have any money saved for retirement?
Well, I don't have much saved. You know, I'm pretty comfortable now, but I don't have a lot of saved. I've got a savings of, you know, maybe $20,000. And you know, I love what I do, and I'm working, I'm healthy. But I'm just thinking today after listening to you folks on the radio that, you know, I should probably start thinking of something to do.
And do you own a home?
Yes, sir.
And what's the value of the home?
$400,000.
And what do you owe on it?
$200,000.
Okay.
Have you thought about working on getting that paid down?
No, sir.
And what would happen if suddenly tomorrow you couldn't go to work?
Well, I'd be up Salt Creek without a paddle.
Okay.
So you got to, what's your approximate income?
Probably $100,000 a year.
Okay. And do you have any employees?
No, sir.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Here's what I would do if I was sitting. If you were sitting in my office, we would do two things. We'd look at paying down that mortgage over a 10-year period. What's the interest rate on that mortgage?
I think it's like 5.25.
Okay, so what I would do is I'd say, hey, it might make sense for you, Jerry, to refinance this mortgage into what's called a 30 due in 10 or a 15-year fixed rate mortgage to get that interest rate lower.
Yeah, you can get it much lower.
Much lower, and then amortize that mortgage over the next 7 to 10 years. My guess is the soonest you'll probably be able to do it is probably 10, maybe even 12 years. So what that means is we're going to set up a payment schedule so that at the end of a 10 or 12 year period, the house will be paid for. That's the first thing we're going to do. Unless you said to me, I have no intention of staying in this house when I retire, in which case we would take a different tack. Do you plan on staying in that house when you retire?
That's unknown. I've been thinking about that, and I'm not real sure which would be the best way to go.
We're going to make the assumption that you're going to stay in the house if you don't know, because most people end up staying in their house if they don't know. So I would amortize that payment over the next 10 to 12 years, refinance that mortgage into a 15-year fixed rate, and then make payments so it's paid off in 10 to 12 years. Then I would open what's called a solo K or a self-employed 401K that allows you to contribute up to 20.
Well, he can use a SEP IRA for enough. He can contribute enough into a SEP IRA.
Yeah, you can do
actually,
that as well.
Have you, for if you can contribute now for 2015,
that
assuming
makes,
you haven't filed your taxes.
Yeah, that makes actually more sense. The 401k needs to be established before it would have been had to have been established in 2015 in order to make the contribution for 2015. So
here's is your self-employed, does your income come in on a regular basis or does it fluctuate?
It fluctuates.
So, I mean, right now, Jerry, if you don't do anything, you're going to find yourself at some point in time, you know, if you're fortunate enough, maybe you'll be able to keep working until you're 85 or 90, right? But you might not. You might be like the 58% of Americans that end up retiring before they had planned. So what we want to make sure is that you can become retirement ready. So at 62, we really think if over the next several years you take some steps to get retirement ready, you can be in a position so that if something happened to you between what Social Security could provide at age 70, equity you've got in your house, and some savings, you'd be in okay shape.
Very good.
So, but the key would be to have some discipline to your savings.
And a plan. Yeah, and this was the first step in starting a plan, was actually saying, I'm going to start a plan.
Right.
You obviously haven't really worried about it. As you started the conversation, you guys got me to thinking that I probably should do something. And 62, you know, you really you could have another 10, 15 years of work left in you. Who knows?
Oh,
but you might have another week.
Horse.
Yeah, but you might have another week. We don't know.
Odds are
you bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. I mean, we really are big believers in people being retirement ready.
So sit down with a qualified advisor you're comfortable with, or do it on your own, but the minimum refinance into a 15-year fixed rate, set up a payment over 10 years, and set up a SEP IRA.
If you can save 10% of your income, all right, save 10% of your income, that's not a ton, start with that. Amortize your home, that means figure out how much to pay on your home mortgage so that it's paid off by the time you hit age 70, okay?
Right.
Between those two, if you can get your home paid off and some money in the bank, if something happened at age 70, you've got Social Security coming in at that point.
And a decent benefit.
And if your home's paid off, you get a decent benefit. At some point in time, you could always look at a reverse mortgage to help supplement some income.
If you needed to.
That's not where you'd want to go, but that's where I would start. And I would really try to get that home paid off.
All righty.
Very good. I like that idea.
All right, all right, Jerry. Appreciate the call.
We wish you
well. I appreciate you all very much. And I had a different definition of being in the stock business because I'm in the stock business being horses, but I'm a stock broker. The more horses I get, the broker I get.
Stock broker. That's it.
There we go.
You guys have a great day, and thank you so much
thank
for
you,
your
Jerry.
Help.
Well, right. Jerry's a very friendly gentleman. We appreciate that. Well,
that's what they say about you shouldn't really ever buy anything that flies. You have to feed or floats.
Don't buy anything that flies.
You have to feed or float.
Kids.
You don't buy your kids. You can buy a horse. Basically, you shouldn't buy a plane, a boat, or a horse. They're all very, very expensive. You should rent them.
You can rent a horse?
Yeah, you can rent a horse. You absolutely can rent a horse. You can rent horses for long term and then learn to ride on them. Absolutely.
Rent a plane? They wouldn't. No one would rent a plane.
You could rent them, not to you.
I don't even know how to fly.
Not to
you. It'd be a bad idea for them to rent me a plane. So,
anyway, but he's probably starting a little late, but he's starting.
Yeah, there's obviously
he's starting.
But you know what I appreciate about Jerry is there's others out there listening that are different ages. And the important thing is about being retirement ready. But we are a big fan of getting that home paid off. And whether you are 62 or 42, just being able to work so that home is paid off at retirement. We're going to take a quick break. And if you'd like to join the program, the contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us.
Yes.
On this. Let's, we better hit the phones here.
Yeah, we should.
Let's talk to Sylvia. Sylvia, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, hi. I'm so happy to speak with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sylvia. Glad you're joining us.
Yeah, I'm a teacher, and I'm thinking of retiring by January 2018. And I had a question. I was wondering if I am too old to open a Roth IRA, a Roth IRA.
Well, there's no age limit. It has to do with whether you have income or not.
And how much income
yes.
you have.
So are you married or are you single?
No, I'm married.
Okay. And so if your family income is north of about $175,000, somewhere in there, if it gets above that, you lose the ability to contribute to a Roth IRA.
Directly to a
really?
Roth IRA. Directly to a Roth IRA. But
okay.
is
what's
your income-
the ballpark family income?
Ooh, I want to say it's probably close to over $180,000.
All right, good for you. So that is a good number. Let's talk about how possibly
well,
getting money into. She has some. Yeah.
Depending on what you've been contributing in your tax, 403B or 401K, your adjusted yeah. gross income might be low enough that you can qualify for a Roth contribution. So what the qualification is that you have earned income, some sort of wage or self-employment income. As long as you've got that and your income's below the limit, you can contribute to a Roth IRA. Now, if your income's above that,
you
can't. It fades out at about roughly $200,000 or so. It's you can't contribute.
So
right, right.
Let's
well,
go through.
But you could always contribute to a non-deductible IRA.
And then convert it to a Roth IRA.
Assuming you don't have any other IRAs.
Assuming you don't have any
but
other IRAs.
It sounds like there's a good chance, if you've been saving in your retirement accounts, that you'll be able to qualify. Your income will be below the limit. And you can still, you've got till April 15th of this year to make a contribution for 2015.
Right. You know what I was going to do is I think I contribute only about $300 to a 403B.
Okay.
But I was just going to take that $300 and stick it in the Roth IRA.
All right. Let's slow down. Let's slow down for a second here. Your husband, does he have a 401K or 403B or 457 available to him, Sylvia?
My wife has a 403B as well.
Oh, okay. So you're, and is your wife contributing the maximum to the 403B?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. So
we're both in STIRS.
Yeah, which is great, which is absolutely great.
But your pension, let's assume you, so you're retiring in 2018. Is your income going to be the same in retirement as it is today?
I think my take-home income is going to be, I think, you know, the before taxes are taken out, it's probably going to be somewhere around $75,000 maybe.
Okay.
Okay, and this your spouse, the same thing?
Well, she's not going to retire for a few years, but she at one point made way more money than I did, so she's going to probably bring home a little bit more.
Okay. So this so is I'm trying to think whether the Roth actually makes the most sense for you or whether the 403B.
That's where both kind of
good question.
So the question really is this. If you are going to be have lower income in retirement than you have today, you're better off contributing to your 403B. On the other hand, if in retirement your income is going to be higher than today, you're better off to contribute to a Roth, all things being equal.
Assuming that you're going to stay in the state of California when you retire, do you plan on living in the state of California when both of you retire?
Yes, I don't know. I really don't know.
Have you ever talked about leaving the state of California?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Depending on where our kids end up.
Okay.
How much is how much
not uncommon, which is pretty
absolutely.
Common.
Absolutely, yeah. How much do you guys have set aside in retirement plans, 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s, IRAs?
Well, I have about close to $265,000, and I'm not quite sure how much she has. She has a lot less than that, I think.
Okay.
Ideally, in a perfect world, when if your income's going to be the same— whether it's today or in retirement, whether you contribute to a Roth or not, it's not going to make much difference. Here's the thing. The $300 a month that you're putting into your 403B, you're getting a tax deduction on it. So you're saving, let's just call it, you're saving $100 on taxes. So
right.
if you switch and put this into a Roth IRA, your tax bill is going to go up by about $100,
which is fine.
Which is fine. All things being equal, I'd rather you 5 years down or 2 years down the road have, let's call it $10,000 sitting in a Roth than $10,000 sitting in a 403B.
Because you get more net spendable income out of the Roth than you do out of the 403B. So,
yes.
I like the Roth.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
I think the Roth is okay. A good idea. So, who prepares your taxes?
So, here's the thing, Sylvia. The only time we're going to know the right answer is in the future. No one has a crystal ball, right? So, all we can do is look at all the variables out there and make the most educated guess that we can today.
And what drives us to the Roth is you've already got $265,000 in sheltered dollars. So that is the now, in saying that, you said your children, are they children from a previous marriage for both of you?
No,
they're not. OK, they're your children. And the reason I ask is because the biggest concern we have from children from previous marriages is the creation of a trust.
Right. No, they are our
children. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So in both your situations, both you and your wife probably need a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
For both of you, because it makes sense for one of you.
It's going to make sense.
It's going to make sense for both of you because it's community property money. You're going to spend it as it is one.
Okay.
All righty.
Now I have one other question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
As one of the benefits, when I retire from the school district, I am going to receive $17,500 as a one-time, you know, quote-unquote health benefit. I have other options. I can have them pay half of my health benefit for 7 years, or there's another option. But I'm going to be covered under my wife's health insurance for another 4 years. So I will only need to cover about one, maybe 2 years until I receive Medicare.
Yep, okay.
Can I stick that $17,500 when I get it in a healthcare account, or should I split it between a Roth and the healthcare account? Or
you can only contribute to the health savings account if you have a high deductible plan,
and your plan allows for it. So that has nothing to do with whether you could put it in or not. It's just dependent upon the benefit.
So
that comes from there.
You do not have a high deductible plan. You would know.
I'm not quite sure what that is.
If you had to pay your first, say, $6,000 worth of medical expenses every year before health insurance kicked in, then you can contribute.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you don't have that plan.
Yeah. So the answer is no.
I would increase your contributions to your retirement plan right before you go to retirement.
Actually, I would. How much money do you have in savings in the bank?
You don't want to ask that question.
Okay. So I'm guessing it's small.
You don't want to ask that
question. Maybe a couple thousand.
All right. Well, you know what? The fact is,
I would actually, because you have no money in savings in the bank, I'd actually leave it in the bank.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you're not getting paid that till you retire, right?
Right. Correct.
Oh, well, let's worry about that when that happens.
Call us back then.
I like the idea of taking the moving from the 403B to the Roth.
The Roth. And I apologize for so many questions to get to the answer, because the answer was pretty simple, right? Do I need a Roth or don't I need a Roth? And we ask you a ton of questions.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We have no idea. Until you actually diagnose the situation and make the recommendation. Yeah. So,
all right, good luck, Sylvia,
and
the last
your wife
years.
For the Roth. So enjoy your last. What grade do you teach?
I teach 12th grade government.
Oh, is that right? Oh, is that right? This got to be a blast right now. There are great conversations going on.
You should take my son is a senior in high school, highly political. He's been involved in youth and government. He's on the statewide board for the youth and government. That's how much he loves this stuff. Spent last summer back in Washington, D.C. He's like a political junkie. Yeah.
So are the conversations in the classroom, because they're seniors in high school.
Man, I couldn't imagine.
Are they great?
They're absolutely fabulous.
It is the most bizarre time.
Are they divisive?
You know, I teach in a community that's pretty blue, but there are some very ultra conservative students that that they make for interesting conversations and contributions.
Oh, that's awesome. That would be so much fun to watch.
That's a good politically correct answer there too.
I imagine on a normal year it might be a pretty you know, not the most exciting subject to teach, but this kind of year, you're probably just like, wow.
There's no.
Well, I have to say, it's always exciting in my classroom.
Oh, is it?
Well, I would think. I mean, every day there's something in the news every day that you can talk about, whether it's a constitutional issue, the three branches of the government. I mean, it's like never. It's endless.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's why I enjoy it so much.
That's great.
It is a blast.
Good for you. Well, think twice about retiring. I'm just think twice about it.
I'm ready.
Oh, you are. All right. Well, we appreciate the call.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, and you know,
here's the thing about Roth that you don't read about very often. And here's where it makes sense for a lot of people. First of all, the majority of Americans are either a low tax bracket or a no tax bracket. The majority. So
for most people, it doesn't make any sense.
To take a tax deduction, they should contribute to a Roth IRA or the Roth 401k.
Correct.
That's what you meant. Yes, doesn't make any sense to take it. But if you are, let's say you contribute the maximum to a 401k, 17.5,
mm-hmm.
or the maximum into a Roth 401k.
Yes.
You'd be better off doing the Roth.
Because?
Because you're going to get retirement. Either one, let's say I contribute to a Roth, you contribute to a regular, we get down to retirement. Let's say we both have $1 million in our retirement accounts. Mine's in a Roth, it's tax-free. Yours is in a traditional, it's taxable.
Mine is worth approximately 30% to 40% less.
And what happened to the tax savings you received? The tax
deduction? I spent it.
You spent it all.
I went out
dang
to
right
dinner.
You did. That's what happens with people. They talk about the tax deduction.
We went to Morton's.
It assumes you saved the tax deduction somewhere. Nobody saves the tax deduction. I shouldn't say nobody.
Most people do not save the tax deduction.
As a general rule for the majority of Americans don't save their tax savings. The majority of Americans in a lower tax bracket. A Roth is clearly preferable to the 401k. High-income people, great savers. Not always. It's a little more complicated. Anyway, we're taking a quick break. We still have a couple lines open. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the number. And Join the show. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on moneymatters.com. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. You can get our podcast at moneymatters.com. I highly encourage you to do so. And because we think it's a good program.
In the last call in talking with...
You know, that's bad radio to refer back to a previous call after we...
This is not what I do for a living. This is like a part-time job for me. I'm not going to get real good at this. Wow. I didn't spend any time with a career counselor trying to.
So you mean the discussion I had with the staff today about is let's determine what people are great at and have them excel at that more. Let's focus on people's strength and getting better and ignore their weaknesses. The conversation I had with you took that to heart and you're like.
Well, the only part I heard was ignore the weaknesses.
Which was most of your life.
So I know it's bad radio and it's in bad form, but I thought about it. Sylvia, who obviously is listening or was listening to the show, should go through our 7 personal decision points on our website, moneymatters.com.
Or our workshop.
She could do both. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
We do have a great webinar at moneymatters.com.
7 personal decision points.
So and we got a great ebook.
5 years of retirement. It's a process that you can walk through. Takes about 20 minutes, the webinar, and there's a great ebook that kind of explains what you should be thinking about in the retirement planning process.
And we've got a very defined process that helps people step by step as opposed to trying to – it's daunting. Retirement's not easy, and there's a lot of things to think about, which is why we break things down into 7 simple processes. But we do have workshops the next 2 weeks. This upcoming week, we're in the Bay Area, Northern California Bay Area, and the week after that in Sacramento. So this coming week – on Monday night, this coming Monday at Lafayette, we're going to be in Lafayette both midday and evening. On Tuesday night, we're going to be in Pleasanton, and on Wednesday night in Cupertino. So again, if you are considering retirement, getting close to retirement, you'll want to come to our 7 personal decision point for retirement transition workshop. Again, Monday the 14th in Lafayette, Tuesday the 15th in Pleasanton, Wednesday in Cupertino. That's the 16th.
They're about 75 minutes long.
Moneymatters.com is where you go. Moneymatters.com.
Hour and 15 minutes long, and there will be light appetizers. And if you want to register, I think you go to moneymatters.com.
Moneymatters.com. We'll get you registered for the 7 personal decision points for retirement transition workshop. Did I mention the dates?
Yeah, it's next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Yes. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And the following week in Sacramento. And for people in other areas listening to this, you can go to our website and get on demand our webinar.
MoneyMatters.com, which I did myself, by the way. 20 minutes.
So pure, I don't know how good it is. But
pure pleasure.
But Pat did do that with pure pleasure.
20 minutes of the finest webinar you will see in...
What?
Just promoting it.
The finest webinar. You sound so excited. You're supposed to emote.
I told you.
Enthusiastic.
As I mentioned earlier, part-time job, this radio thing for me. Full-time job, financial advisor.
Now I got to tell you. So real quick, we're going to go.
People.
So when I, Pat and I, when we both first started, before we started Hanson McLean, we both had a little short stint at a company that was owned by a life insurance company. So it was a financial planning focus, but they're owned by a life insurance company, and they encouraged us to go to this one-day sales training class.
Oh, yeah.
You know where I'm going.
I remember this.
I got to tell you.
This is 23,
and this is the industry, by the way. This is our industry, not us. We're an independent advisory firm at Hanson McLean, fee-based advisors, but so much of the industry.
Fiduciary.
So much of the industry has not changed. It's still like this. So I forget this guy's name. Apparently, his claim to fame is he had once coached an Olympiad. So the whole process, this whole day came down to two things.
How
to be motivated? Two ways. One is by listening to yourself of giving up positive affirmations. So hearing yourself saying good things to yourself.
Things about yourself.
And number two, it's having Baroque music in the background. So some Mozart along with your own voice. There's some scientifically proven that it's the best motivation that you have. So you go through this all day thing, and at the end, you bring a little tape recorder because there were tapes back then. And
years ago.
You're supposed to record your own voice, and they have the Baroque Mozart going in the background, and you do this whole thing. And then you're supposed to listen to this tape every day as you're driving from appointment to appointment.
Did you listen to yours?
And there were things like, I love to prospect. Prospecting is fun. Prospecting is fun. Rejection gives me energy. Rejection gives me energy. Rejection
hilarious.
Gives me energy, right? This
it
is our sales
so
training.
Funny. I never listened.
Oh, gosh.
All I remember about that,
we
so
didn't
this
last
company,
long
we,
there.
They encouraged us to go, and I didn't last long at the company, but all I remember is the guy that was giving the workshop was the middle of a divorce, and about every 20 minutes he talked about his ex-wife. Do you remember?
But the thing is,
he
the
was
sad
so
thing
bitter.
Is, look, this is how... Pat and I, we both had a couple years of this company right out of college.
Good people.
Before we were certified financial planners, chartered financial consultant, before we began Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean today, we are a fee-based investment advisory firm. Clearly don't have those same sort of sales. We're not selling products.
But we've
like
seen that.
That.
We've seen that. But they were good people. They were good people. Different structure, good people. The people that worked there were good. It's just a different structure. A commission structure is a very, very different structure than a fiduciary structure. That's the reality.
It is the reality. And you need to.
And I can't wait.
Reality.
And there is big, big talk right now in Congress about the fiduciary standard that commissioned salespeople, brokers, are going to have to use with their clients.
They're going to have to put their clients' best interest first, which doesn't even exist right now in retirement.
And we're supposed to see it here in the next couple of weeks.
I'm hoping.
And I am hoping.
Yeah.
I am hoping. And the reason this is, listen, the reason this is so important to me is I saw it again today. No, not today. This week. I saw it this week. I was thinking about it this morning, though, where a commission broker.
You came into the studio hot because you've
mad.
Been sitting reviewing this notes on.
I was mad. It's just, and I think.
You saw someone being taken advantage of.
Yes. And why? But why?
A recent widow taken advantage of.
Anyway.
Through commissions.
I can't talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
Anyway, we better go to the calls here before we get in trouble. Let's talk to Don. Don, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Don.
Hey, so I've got a simple question. I've asked a couple of investment advisors this question, and I get the deer in the headlights look or the two-step sidestep, but it seems like a really simple question. I work for the state of California.
Okay.
And I have the opportunity to buy back service credit.
You still do?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a one-time thing. I've got to commit to an amount,
uh-huh.
and the amount of money I can put in, and the amount of service credit I want to buy back.
Oh, so let me ask you a question. So you signed up for this thing about 9 months ago when it was still allowed, and you've been waiting in line for the numbers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So
no deer in the headlight from Pat.
So so what's your question for me?
My question is...
You should do it.
What's the question? What's the question? What's the question?
I'm a little suspicious, but how do I compare this to... If I took the same $100,000 and invested it in
whatever,
an IRA, a Roth, something like that, I've got A or B. How do I compare this to an investment I might make?
Okay, so what we can do is we can do a net present value calculation on this.
But you're going to know what the numbers. It's about 7%.
It's between 7 and 7.5%, and it is
guaranteed.
Dawn. The mere fact that you've really asked an investment advisor and they couldn't answer your question is astonishing to me. It is an IQ test.
When you asked him, was this like in passing, like at a cocktail party or something, or is this like you actually met with an advisor?
I met with.
Well, they weren't advisors. They weren't advisors. I don't know what.
Dawn, you're going to buy as much as they're going to sell you. As much, assuming you have a normal life expectancy.
Don, we have had millions of dollars we've taken from Hanson McLean and had this years ago when you can still buy it. There's not many options like you.
Yeah, because literally it closed. It closed for everyone else.
Millions of dollars. We said, look, the buying a pension at the state of California is the best investment, at least one of the best investments you can make. The guarantees in place are phenomenal.
Cost of living adjustments, the hurdle rate on the return. Assuming you have a normal life expectancy, Don, this
as far as I know,
is an IQ test, and you have passed.
Okay.
Your advisors that you spoke to.
They weren't advisors. I don't know what they were. What were they?
Either
one of them a certified financial planners?
Yes, they were.
All right. There isn't a single person that I haven't recommended this to. Now, let's go to the next step. You go to moneymatters.com, we'll talk a little, you could go to our website on moneymatters.com and there's a workshop on the 401ks. Do you have after-tax dollars that you could fund this with, or do you have money in your 403 or 457 or 401k that you would be using?
Most of these are after-tax dollars.
Even better.
Because it's a way you can get tax-deferred growth on money.
It's a way you can get tax-deferred growth on it. Now, you can use a combination of the two, but if I had a choice, I would use the after-tax dollars to do it, not the 401k or the 457. And the reason behind that is when you put that money in, all that growth is now being tax-deferred. When you get the payments out, what you're going to see is a part of those payments, when you take your distributions from the retirement plan, are going to be a return of principal in which that portion is not taxed, and any of the gain will be taxed at that point in time. So use as much after-tax dollars as you can and buy every penny of it you can. And it was a good deal. If you've listened to this radio show for any length of time, you know that we've encouraged this. Now, everyone else, this is no longer available to you if you work for the state of California. They have stopped this program. The reason it's available to Don is because he inquired while it was still available, and there was such a rush there that you were on the waiting list. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah, it was a great deal. So, we are out of time. Music says we are out of time. We're here every weekend on this hour. You can also get a podcast of this program. Go to iTunes, get the podcast. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.